ready, would you pray for us? Have you been reading the Bible every day, praying every day, getting ready for a new Bible Readers Banquet next year? Everyone that reads the Bible through can come free of charge. If you need help with it, tell me. I'll get you a schedule. What book are we in? Genesis. Who wrote it? God did. God wrote it. What man did he use to put it on paper? Moses is correct. The first 11 chapters are like the first book of Genesis, and every word in them is true. And then we start in chapter 12 with the patriarchs, and that starts the second book of Genesis. And guess what? Every word in that's true. That goes over to chapter 50, and we've been looking at Abraham, been looking at Isaac, and now we've moved over to Jacob. And Jacob, we've already seen him in chapter 25 as the devising brother, stealing the birthright. And then we saw him last week in chapter 27 as a deceitful son, stealing the blessing from the father. And then we also saw him last week as a dreaming pilgrim. He dreamed about a ladder from earth to heaven. And who was the ladder? Jesus is right. The only way from earth to heaven is the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jacob dreamed about him. Now we're in chapter 29. Here comes the bride. Here comes the bride. Now, Jacob in 28, God promised him in 15, he said, I'll not leave thee nor forsake thee. And so Jacob ought to be moving along with a spring in his step now. Now he's got the Lord on his side. It's a 500-mile journey is what my last commentator said. I think I told y'all one time 900 miles to get for Abraham when he sent the nameless servant. I don't know which one it is. Might be 700 is a good average. 700 is from here to Pensacola, Florida, and I really wouldn't want to ride a camel that far. Wouldn't want to walk. I don't even want to ride a Tennessee Walker that far, I don't think. It's going to be a month or two. It's going to be a while. It's a long journey. But anyway, he makes it. We're in chapter 29. Then Jacob went on his journey and came into the land of the people of the east. It's northeast of Israel is where he went. Padan Aram is what the Lord calls it in here. And he looked and behold, a well in the field. And lo, there were three flocks of sheep lying by it. For out of that well they watered the flocks, and a great stone was upon the well's mouth. And thither were all flocks gathered, and they rolled the stone away from the well's mouth and watered the sheep and put the stone again upon the well's mouth in his place. And Jacob said unto them, my brethren, whence be ye? And they said, of Haran are we. And he said unto them, know ye Laban, the son of Nahor? And they said, we know him. And he said unto them, is he well? And they said, he is well. And behold, Rachel, his daughter, cometh with the sheep. And he said, lo, it is yet high day, neither is it time that the cattle should be gathered together. Water ye the sheep, and go and feed them. And they said, we cannot. The best I can figure, it's a heavy stone, and they can't move it. They can't. Until all the flocks be gathered together, till they roll the stone from a well's mouth, then we water the sheep. And while he yet spake with them, Rachel came with her father's sheep, and she kept them. And it came to pass when Jacob saw Rachel. Ooh, buddy, it happened. It said kind of like when Adam woke up and saw Eve and said, whoa, man. I mean, Jacob's socks is going up and down. He is excited. He ain't never seen nothing like this. Here is Rachel. And it came to pass when Jacob saw Rachel, the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, and the sheep of Laban, his mother's brother, that Jacob went near and rolled the stone from the well's mouth. Well, they couldn't do it, but now Jacob's got the adrenaline flowing and Jacob moving. He's showing off. He's showing off for Rachel. And he watered the flock of Laban with his mother's brother. And Jacob kissed Rachel and lifted up his voice and wept. And Jacob told Rachel that that he was her mother's brother. Now, we're going to see this term brother again down in verse 15. And Laban said unto Jacob, because thou art my brother. Now, they're using the term brother loosely here, like Brother Rick does at the door. And he'll say, welcome, Brother Teddy. Welcome, Brother Preacher. Welcome. And we're not brothers by down at the courthouse. We're brothers in heaven. Brother R.C., how you doing? They're using the term real loosely. Really, he's his father's nephew. He's kin to him. He's kin to him. If they were kin to each other, they called him brother. If you're kin. We're kin. We've got the same father, a different mother around here. And Jacob, which by the way, my mother's here this morning. I'm glad Mom's here. And Jacob told Rachel that he was her father's brother and that he was Rebekah's son. And she ran. Must be in the family that other bride was doing that. She ran and told her father. And it came to pass when Laban heard the tidings of Jacob, his sister's son, that he ran to meet him and embraced him and kissed him and brought him to the house. And he told Laban all these things. Laban probably still got that jewelry he gave him last time. A couple chapters back. And Laban said unto him, surely thou art my bone and my flesh, my brother, if you will. They're kin, they're cousins. Rachel's a cousin. And he abode with him the space of a month. Well, old Jacob's figuring he's got it made. The plan worked out. The plan worked. I've been laying around here for a month now watching Mayberry, drinking coffee. And Esau is a long ways off. And it's looking like the plan worked out. It's looking pretty good. A month. That's a pretty good vacation right there. Verse 15. And Laban said unto Jacob, behold, thou art my brother. Shouldst thou therefore serve me for naught? Serve me. What are you talking about? The daddy prayed that the brethren would serve me. What are you talking about, me serving you? Hey, it's reaping time now. It's reaping time. The vacation's over. The chickens are coming home to roost. Jacob's getting ready to see that the way of the deceiver is hard. He said, and Laban's letting him know, hey, vacation's over. If you're going to stay around here, you're going to go to work. That's in the Greek, by the way. Because thou art my brother, shouldest thou therefore serve me for nothing, for naught? Tell me, what shall thy wages be? Wages is something you earn. Jacob's getting ready to go to work. He wouldn't serve God. Now he's getting ready to serve man. He wouldn't submit to God. Now he's getting ready to submit to man because he has to. He has to. Verse 16, and Laban had two daughters, and the name of the elder was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. And Leah was tender-eyed, but Rachel was beautiful and well-favored. The definition for tender-eyed is not beautiful. It's about the best I can tell you, but old Jacob, he's moon-eyed, is what he is. He's got a bad case of it. Then, here in 18, and Jacob loved Rachel. And he said, I will serve, here's going to be the wages. I'll serve thee 7 years for Rachel, thy younger daughter. And Laban said, it's better I give her to thee than I should give her to another man. Abide with me. And Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed unto him but a few days for the love he had unto her. Now, verse 21. Here's a business meeting with Laban. And Jacob said unto Laban, give me my wife, for my days are fulfilled, that I may go in unto her. And Laban gathered all the men of the place and made a feast. And it came to pass in the evening that he took Laban, as he took Leah, his daughter, and brought her to him, and he went in unto her, and Laban gave unto his daughter Leah Zilpha, his maid, for a handmaid. And it came to pass that in the morning, Behold, it was Leah. And he said to Laban, what is this that thou hast done unto me? Hey, it's reaping time. It's reaping time. The ways of the transgressor are hard. Did not I serve with thee for Rachel? Wherefore then hast thou beguiled me? All the beguiler got beguiled. It's reaping time. Here we go. And Laban said, it must not be so done in our country to give the younger before the firstborn. We've heard that word firstborn before, haven't we? Firstborn, that's ringing a bell to me. Fulfill her week. Now, a lot of times a week is not just 7 days, but 7 years in this case, or 7 months sometimes. And we will give thee this also for the service which thou shalt serve with me yet 7 other years. Jacob meets his match. The deceiver is deceived, and he's deceived by the law of the firstborn. The Lord's got a sense of humor. Hey, it's reaping time. It's reaping time. Wait till 20 years is up. There's going to be some more reaping. We're just getting started. Most wedding feasts were at night, and the bride was veiled, and Jacob got tricked. The tricker got tricked. Let's look at it in Proverbs 13:15. Good understanding giveth favor, but the way of transgressors is hard. It's still true today. It's true for Brother Rick. It's true for us. So how about Galatians 6:7? Galatians 6:7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. It's happening to Jacob. He said, what is this that thou hast done unto me? Well, is he too good to be deceived, to be tricked? Wherefore then hast thou beguiled me, he said. Now, Leah and Rachel had shared all their lives. Kim and Buzz is her sister. They tell me, this is their testimony, they fought all their life. They had to sleep in the same room. They shared everything. They went off to college, and then they went and begged the dean, could they room together? So Leah and Rachel have shared their whole life, and now they're going to share the same husband. Sowing and reaping. Sowing and reaping. Jacob deceives the father, and he reaps deception from the father-in-law. Jacob deceives the father concerning his favorite son, and a few years from now, he's going to get deceived about his favorite son. Later, that's going to happen to Jacob. Jacob, the younger, impersonated the elder Esau last week in chapter 27. And now this week, the elder daughter impersonates the younger daughter and tricks Jacob. Now, don't forget, in case I forget to mention it later. Now, Rachel also got tricked that night. Jacob wasn't the only one. And later on, she's going to trick her daddy. Later on. At Bethel, Jacob learned what God was like. At Haran, Padan Aram, he learns what man's like. Yeah. Up till now, Jacob's been a big man. He's kin to Isaac, kin to Abraham, and a son of a rich chief with servants and influence. But now he's an outsider. He's an alien. He's an unwanted stranger. He's seeking a way in the world among those that have no use for him. He's an interloper, is what Barney called him. Interloper. Why would Laban care if Jacob was kin to him? He's going to take advantage of the weak temporarily in his power. Why did Jacob care if Esau was kin to him? He took advantage of the weak, even though he was in his power there for a little bit. Now, there's many lessons down through here for Brother Rick to learn. I named four of them, but there's more than that. And if I would just pay attention, maybe I could learn from someone else's mistakes and not have to relearn them and stub my toe again. But lesson number one is what I'm calling it, is submission. And we already said, Jacob wouldn't submit to God. He wouldn't wait. He wasn't patient. And now he gets to submit to Laban.
Yeah.
Lesson number two, respects for the right of the firstborn. Jacob didn't have it. Let's look at it. Hold your finger there. We're coming back. 27:19. And Jacob said unto his father, I am Esau, thy firstborn. Not a white lie, not a fib, not a regular lie, a blatant out and out lie. Verse 24, and he said, art thou my very son Esau? And he said, I am. No respect for the rights of the firstborn. How about some patience, Brother Rick? How about some patience? Dr. Short has the most patience I know of. I know I don't have them. Chapter 25, verse 23. And the Lord said to her at the end of the verse, the elder shall serve the younger. But Jacob didn't want to wait. He's like Brother Rick. He wanted it now. He wanted his way and he wanted it right now. And then lesson number four, the way of the transgressor is hard. It's hard. He deceived his father, deceived by the father-in-law. And again, Laban tricks Rachel. And later on in chapter 31, she tricks her dad or lies to him. Okay, we're in verse 28, I think it is. Jacob, the frustrated family man. And Jacob did say he served her seven more years for Rachel. And Jacob did so and fulfilled her week. And Laban gave him Rachel, his daughter, to wife also. And Laban gave to Rachel the daughter of Bilhah in Genesis 29:29. And Laban gave to Rachel his daughter Bilhah, his handmaid, to be her maid. And he went in also unto Rachel, and he loved also Rachel more than Leah, and served with him yet 7 other years. And when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. Leah loved Jacob and said nothing. Verse 32, and Leah conceived and bare a son. She called his name Reuben. For she said, surely the Lord hath looked upon my affliction. Now therefore my husband will love me. And she conceived again and bare a son. See, it was a disgrace in this day not to have children, especially males. And said, because the Lord hath heard that I was hated, and he hath therefore given me this son also. And she called his name Simeon. And she conceived again and bare a son and said, now this time will my husband be joined unto me, because I have borne him 3 sons. Therefore was his name called Levi. And she conceived again and bare a son, and she said, now will I praise the Lord. Therefore she called his name Judah. And we have a list of all these. This is not quite all of them right here. Let's go to 35, chapter 35, and verse 23, we see a complete list of the children, the sons anyway. Genesis 35:23, and the sons of Leah are Reuben, Jacob's firstborn, and Simeon, and Levi, and Judah, and Issachar, and Zebulun. And the sons of Rachel, Joseph and Benjamin. And the sons of Bilhah, Rachel's handmaid, Dan and Naphtali. And the sons of Zilpha, Leah's handmaid, Gad and Asher. And these are the sons of Jacob that were born to him in Padan Aram. Now he ends up having one daughter. And this is just a picture of the diligence of Jacob, maybe, and the deception of Laban. Jacob works for one wife and gets two. But the reaping's not over with. Job 4:8. Let's see what Job says about it. Even as I have seen, they that plow iniquity and sow wickedness reap the same. Reap the same. It's reaping time for Jacob. Now, Jacob wouldn't submit to God. Now he's forced to submit to the firstborn, to honor the position of the firstborn. Jacob's like Rick. The first 20 years of his life, first part of his life, he had no law but his own. Pharaoh drowned all the male children, and Pharaoh got drowned. Also, his firstborn died by the death angel. Paul, in the New Testament, consented to the stoning of Stephen. He held the coats of the stoners, and then Paul gets stoned at Lystra. Korah split the congregation, and the earth split and swallowed him up.
Yeah.
Chickens do come home to roost.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I don't want us to miss the main point. See, what we've been talking about here all along is Jacob has been sowing to the flesh.
Right.
And so do we. So let's quit.
Yeah.
The purpose is to sow to the Spirit.
Right.
To sow to the Spirit. I've been reading about how, see, when God talked to Jacob, when he got alone with God, when he first left home, left everything he knew, and when he dreamed about the ladder, he was alone with God. Brother Rick needs to be alone with God.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
That's the purpose of the lessons. The purpose of the lessons. We don't want to miss the main purpose. You know, Brother Rick needs to come to church. Brother Rick needs to pray. Brother Rick needs to tell others about the Lord. I don't need to sow to the flesh. I need some spirit. I need some spirit so I'll miss all that other stuff. So I reap some good stuff so I can reap what I sow. That'd be a good turnaround, wouldn't it? Well, okay. Chapter 30. And when Rachel saw that Jacob, that she bare Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister and said to Jacob, "Give me children or else I die." This should be the church's prayer right here. Rachel is a picture of the church. And we're going to practice it Saturday. Well, I ought to practice it every day, but as a group, we're going to plan on practicing it Saturday. Again, a woman was disgraced unless she had children, and the more the better. And Rachel don't have any. And she's praying. And actually, she's blaming Jacob. You know, like I told you, Kim pinches me when she gets sleepy. She's blaming Jacob. Well, it's not him, it's the Lord. It's the Lord that's holding back. It's the Lord they need to pray to, like we saw back in some other chapters. And then look at here in verse 2. And Jacob's anger was kindled against Rachel. Well, up in verse 1, she's envious, and now he's mad. This is just more reaping. This is more reaping. It ought not to be. It should have never happened. It's not supposed to be like this. And Jacob's anger was kindled against Rachel, and he said, "Am I in God's stead who hath withheld from thee the fruit of the womb?" And she said, "Behold, my maid Bilhah, go in unto her, and she shall bear upon my knees, that I may also have children by her." And she gave him Bilhah, her handmaid, to wife, and Jacob went in unto her. Didn't I just read about that a few chapters back, back in chapter 28? We just like to take things into our own hands. We don't like to wait. We don't like to trust God. I don't know which is greater, the grace He used to forgive me of original sin, November 16th, 1974, or my daily sins where I rebel against Him. I wonder which is greater. Which is greater? Which grace and mercy is it that helps me the most? Anyway, I need a lot of help. Here's the sons by Bilhah. Let's see now. And Bilhah conceived and bare Jacob's son. Rachel said, "God hath judged me and hath also heard my voice and hath given me a son." Therefore she called his name Dan. And Bilhah, Rachel's maid, conceived again and bare Jacob a second son. And Rachel said, "With great wrestling have I wrestled with my sister and have prevailed." And she called his name Naphtali. And then here's Jacob's sons by Zilpha, Leah's handmaid. And when Leah saw that she had left bearing, she took Zilpha, her maid, and gave to Jacob the wife. And Zilpha, Leah's maid, gave Jacob a son. And Leah said, "A troop cometh." And she called his name Gad. And Zilpha, Leah's maid, bare Jacob a second son. And Leah said, "Happy am I, for the daughters will call me blessed." And she called his name Asher. And then here's Jacob's other sons by Leah. 14. I'm in Genesis 30, 14. And Reuben went in the days of the... See, the kids get involved. Reuben went in the days of the wheat harvest and found mandrakes in the field. Mandrakes are love apples. And in that day, they believed they aided in... aided in fertility. That's what they believe. But it's really more reaping. He found mandrakes in the field and brought them unto his mother Leah. And then Rachel said to Leah, "Give me, I pray thee, of thy son's mandrakes." And she said unto her, "Is it a small matter that thou hast taken my husband? Wouldst thou take away my son's mandrakes also?" And Rachel said, "Therefore he shall lie with thee tonight for my son's mandrakes." More reaping. And Jacob came out of the field in the evening, and Leah went out to meet him and said, "Thou must come in unto me, for surely I've hired thee with my son's mandrakes." And he lay with her that night. And God hearkened unto Leah, and she conceived and bare Jacob a fifth son. And Leah said, "God hath given me my hire, because I have given my maiden to my husband." And she called his name Issachar. And Leah conceived again and bare Jacob the sixth son. And Leah said, "God hath endued with me a good dowry. Now will my husband dwell with me." I can't imagine this mess. Jacob comes in from been a shepherd all day, and there's four tents waiting on him, and they're out there arguing which tent he's going to go to. And she's wanting one to dwell with her, I mean forever. One husband, one wife, one lifetime. It's the way God meant it to be. I know there's a lot of things mixed up these days, but anyway, it's mixed up here. It was mixed up here. "Come and dwell with me, that now my husband will dwell with me, because I have borne him six sons." And he called his name Zebulun. And afterwards she bare a daughter and called her name Dinah. It's not over with. It's not over with yet. Let's look here. Here's Jacob's son right here. She's going to get another one later. Jacob's son by Rachel, verse 22. And God remembered Rachel, and God hearkened to her and opened her womb, and she conceived and bare a son, which, by the way, that's the only way they come from, is from God. Babies come from God, and you can't get them anywhere else. And said, "God hath taken away my reproach." And she called his name Joseph, and said, "The Lord shall add to me another son." And here Jacob longs for home. 25. And it came to pass when Rachel had borne Joseph, that Jacob said to Laban, "Send me away that I may go unto my own place and to my country. Give me my wives and my children for whom I have served thee, and let me go, for thou knowest my service which I have done to thee." But Laban's not through.
Right.
He's not through with him. There's more reaping yet to come, going to end up being 20 years worth. God doesn't want these boys and this girl raised in idolatry. And we'll see Laban's idols a little bit later. That's not where he wants them raised. And plural wives must end in discord, jealousy, and hatred. The home was intended for peace and happiness.
Yeah.
Now, the schemer meets the schemer. 27. And Laban said to him, "I pray thee, if I have found favor in thine eyes, tarry. For I have learned by experience that the Lord hath blessed me for thy sake." Oh, I wonder what my boss says. Or if he ever says anything close to that. Genesis 39. I kind of doubt it. Genesis 39, 5. Let's see. It's said about Joseph. And Joseph's our hero. He just got born, I know, but we'll see pretty soon he's going to be our hero. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house. This is Joseph, overseer. Over all that he had. The Pharaoh had that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. Wonder if anybody can say that about us. Ephesians 4:32. I know how I made it. I made it by God's amazing grace. I know how I got in. I know. Let's try Ephesians 4:32. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Rick's sake, hath forgiven you. No, it wasn't nothing I did, Teddy. No, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. That's the only way any of us get in. It's because of what somebody else did. It wasn't what we did. It wasn't because we kept one commandment. It wasn't because I went to Sunday school 2 weeks in a row and was faithful two times. No, no, no. It's for Christ's sake. It's for Christ's sake. You're acting like you don't believe that. 1 John 2. Let's look at it again then. 1 John 2. 12. See, we haven't done anything. 1 John 2. 12. I haven't. You might have. I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you because you was good.
Yeah.
No, because you kept the commandments.
Yeah.
No. How about for His name's sake?
Yeah.
For His name's sake. That's how I got in. I don't know how you got in. That's how I got in. Verse 28, we're back in Genesis 30, 28. And he said, "Appoint me thy wages and I'll give it." Laban says to Jacob, he said, "I'll tell you what, I'll give you a raise if you'll stay." And so here's Jacob's plan. I think he's been thinking about it. He's got it all thought out here and he's ready for him. And 29, he said to him, "Thou knowest how I've served thee and how thy cattle was with me. For it was little which thou hadst before I came, is now increased unto a multitude. And the Lord hath blessed thee since my coming. And now, when shall I provide for my own house also?" Well, wonder when I'm going to. And he said, "What shall I give thee?" And Jacob said, "Thou shalt not give me anything." Sound pretty good? Sound pretty good, but don't forget now, he's a deceiver too. You believe Jacob doesn't want anything? If you believe Jacob doesn't want anything, stand up. He said, "Thou shalt not give me anything if thou wilt do this thing for me. I will again feed and keep thy flock. I will pass through all the flock today, removing." I thought he didn't want anything. He said, "To tell you what, I'll remove the culls." The ones nobody wants. You can have the perfect ones. And he said, removing from thence all the speckled and spotted cattle, all the brown cattle among the sheep, and the spotted and speckled among the goats, and of such shall be my hire. I thought he didn't want anything.
Right.
Sound pretty good so far. Sound like he's got a good plan going here. And so shall my righteousness answer for me in time to come. See, it's going to be real easy. If you look out there and Jacob's got any plain old white ones, then those are stolen. And when it come to pass, my hire before thy face, everyone that is not speckled, spotted, or spotted among the goats and brown among the sheep, that shall be counted stolen with me. Verse 34, Laban accepts. Laban said, behold, I would it might be according to thy word. Now here's Jacob the cattle dealer. And he removed that day the he-goats that were ring-straked, spotted, and all the she-goats that were speckled and spotted, and every one that had some white in it, and all the brown among the sheep, and gave them into the hand of his sons. And he set 3 days' journey betwixt himself and Jacob. And Jacob fed the rest of Laban's flocks, and Jacob took him rods of green poplar and of hazel and chestnut trees and piled white streaks in them and made the white appear which was in the rods. And he set the rods which he had piled before the flocks in the gutters in the watering troughs when the flocks came to drink, and that they should conceive when they came to drink. And the flocks conceived before the rods and brought forth cattle, ring straight, speckled, and spotted. And Jacob did separate the lambs and set the faces of the flocks toward the ring straight and all the brown in the flock of Laban. And he put his own flocks by themselves and put them not unto Laban's cattle. And it came to pass, whensoever the stronger cattle did conceive, that Jacob laid the rods before the eyes of the cattle in the gutters, that they might conceive among the rods. And when the cattle were feeble, he put them not in. So the feebler were Laban's, and the stronger were Jacob's. And the outcome is, and the man increased exceedingly, and had much cattle, manservants, maidservants, men servants, camels, and asses. We might not understand all that. I've tried to research it. I can't find anything. We might not even believe it. But Laban and Jacob believed it. Doesn't matter if we did. They believed it. Now, if you want to spend some more time in this chapter, go back especially and study the names of those boys and what they meant. You'll find a 12-step picture of the gospel of Christ and the Christian life, and you'll find a 12 picture history of Israel. A little too much for Sunday school, but what it adds up to, you can trust your Bible.
Right.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for writing it down in Jesus' name. Amen.